I'm reading from the 51st Psalm. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. What a prayer for the consecrated. This prophecy was uttered in your behalf, my behalf. The prophets of old did not have the Spirit that the prophet was talking about. They were not begotten of the Holy Spirit. And in prophecy, he's talking about you, talking about me. And how often this should come before our minds, my dear beloved. To create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Lisa gives it a little different, and I like it very much. Lisa said, renew a firm spirit within me. We desire to have a firm spirit. That's what the prophet was talking about. The Lord Jesus manifested this, a firm spirit, and so did the apostles. Then we can say, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, and oppose me with thy firm spirit, always. Every day, every morning, noon, and night. What a lesson for us, friends. How glad we are tonight at the close of this convention that the Holy Spirit has been manifest here, been exemplified. Holy Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit that operates in our hearts and in our minds towards one another. Therefore, St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:7, what hast thou that thou hast not received? Let us keep that in mind. What hast thou that thou hast not received? The most important thing in our life is in the Holy Spirit. We've been brought into this relationship with God and set into the body of Christ, and we're given the Holy Spirit. St. Paul tells us about this in Romans 5:1-5. I often repeat this, but it's so good. That the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit which God has given unto us. He's given unto us the Holy Spirit. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts as the result of the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's been much confusion in respect to the Holy Spirit. But after he read the 5th volume of Scripture Studies in respect to the Holy Spirit, we were illuminated, enlightened, and then we began to see and understand. You remember, as we go back to creation, how the Spirit of God moved upon the waters, brooded upon the waters, brought forth. That was an operation of the Holy Spirit, but a different operation than God is using at this time. The Holy Spirit operated at the flood, but that was a different operation, wasn't it? The Holy Spirit operated when Isaac was born. Think of Abraham waiting 100 years. Sarah was 90 years old, way past childbirth. The Holy Spirit operated. Isaac was born. It was a miracle. There was a miracle performed, picturing the birth of Christ Jesus, our Lord. That too was a miracle through an operation of the Holy Spirit, wasn't it? That's right. And then for the 1845 years, when our Heavenly Father dealt with the Jewish house, that was an operation of the Holy Spirit, wasn't it? Of course it was. The Holy Spirit operated upon Moses when he was called up into the mount to build the tabernacle, shadows of better sacrifice. It was impressed upon his mind what to do and how to carry it out. And he was to carry it out in every detail, or it would mean death. That was an operation of the Holy Spirit, wasn't it? Yes, and we can come down to the last of all the holy prophets, John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the forerunner of Christ Jesus. John the Baptist did a marvelous, a wonderful work. What a man. No greater men had been born than John the Baptist. Jesus said that, and still John the Baptist would be the least in the kingdom of God. But the least in the kingdom of God would be greater than John. Isn't that a remarkable statement to make about a man like that? Yes. Friends, he was the last of the holy prophets. You see him out there in the wilderness, and your brother talks about it so much today, and the work he was doing, that was an operation of the Holy Spirit. And see how bold he was. What a man. Yes, there he was out at the River Jordan, and he wore camel's dress with a belt to hold it up, denoting that he was a servant of the Most High God. He lived on wild honey and locusts. Wonder how we'd like to do that. Still, he was a servant of the Most High God. His father was a high priest, an educated man. Powerful man. There was an operation of the Holy Spirit, but that was different than the operation of the Holy Spirit during the Gospel Age. Is that right? When Jesus came to the River Jordan, there was an operation of the Holy Spirit upon him. That power was used that Jesus might be begotten to a spirit nature. That's right. Here was a change to take place. And then, friends, that same spirit that came upon the Lord Jesus is upon you, is upon me. We are feet members of the body of Christ. The feet of him. The last members of the body of Christ. You and I are baptized into the same body by the same Spirit. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into the one body. Think how rich we are. Have the same Spirit that came upon the Lord Jesus at the River Jordan. Do you feel it? What would happen if you lost the truth? What would happen if you lost the Holy Spirit? Then you've lost all. Yes, friends, the operation of the Holy Spirit during the Gospel age is marvelous. Spectacular. The holy angels would love to come down here to take our place. They would be glad to come here to Seattle and take your place. But God never offered it to any of the angels. He passed them all by. He passed by the cherubim, seraphims, principalities, powers, and angels. And from the children of men, he's selecting a bride for Jesus. Through and by the operation of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was the first one to be baptized with a Christian baptism. Then it came upon his body members until today it was manifest once more. What a beautiful ceremony. Oh, how grand it is to witness a real, true baptism. To know that the one that's being immersed has already made the contract with God, and we feel that they receive that Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that will set them into the body of Christ, which is the church. What is the church, again? Is it an organization here upon the earth? No. Is it the building? No. Ye are the temple of the living God. We're members of that ecclesia, the body of Christ, which is called the church. Shall we go to church? Well, you are the church. And you're here. Oh, how wonderful to have an understanding of the matter. And then the Holy Spirit operating in our hearts and our minds. How grand. There's going to be another operation of the Holy Spirit, brethren, when the Lord will pour His Spirit upon all flesh. That time will come and you and I will observe it and see it and understand it better and clearer than we do today. But I feel, friends, and I believe you'll agree with me, that the Spirit will first come upon the Jewish house. And that cannot come upon the Jewish house until the body is complete. It will firstly come upon the ancient worthies that Jesus spake about in the 13th chapter of Luke when he said, "Ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the holy prophets in the kingdom." It will come upon them first, but not until the churches and glories of the real age. For they without us cannot be made perfect. And then, friends, the Lord will pour His Spirit upon all flesh. My, what a wonderful arrangement. What a wonderful God we have. That he's promised to pour his Spirit upon all flesh. That will be grand. The world of mankind will come under that. Now, brethren, how do we know we have the Holy Spirit? Oh, how often that question is asked. We know we have the Holy Spirit because we know we have the truth. We have the truth because it harmonizes the Bible. I care not what doctrines or theories or ideas that men may have. If they do not harmonize the truth, there's something wrong. We're glad, friends, to have the Spirit of the Lord operating in our hearts and our minds so we may understand the truth. That's the positive proof that we have the Spirit. Because we see and understand the truth. That vision that Brother Chambers told us about includes something that St. Paul declared. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. You and I have that heavenly vision. And St. Paul told the king in the course of his talk, which implied sanctification in Christ. What does that prove? That proves that St. Paul was begotten of the Holy Spirit and that he was sanctified in Christ Jesus. He could talk about the heavenly things, the spiritual things. And that proves to us that he was spirit begotten. And if we too can prove the spiritual phase of the kingdom and the earthly phase of the kingdom and talk about it with a firm spirit, it is because we have the Spirit of God. I positively know that those two that were immersed today understand the spiritual phase of the kingdom and the earthly phase of the kingdom. I believe they have the Spirit of God, don't you? I want to tell you about that ex-priest that came to the Bowling Green Convention. That ex-priest that our dear brother would refuse, Frank, from the Frank and Ernest program, as his interpreter, a man that's able to interpret the German, the French, the Italian language. I don't know how many more. Well, I met him. I served on the platform with him. Very fine, humble brother. He was telling us, perhaps you will read about it in the October Dawn, that after attending 12 solid years to a Catholic college, different parts of Italy, France, then he was admitted to the Vatican. He said then, when he observed what took place, he gave this from the platform publicly. When he observed what was taking place back of the curtain in the Vatican, commercialized religion, politics, no Christianity, he said. He washed his hands.
he
told his superiors that he couldn't go on. But he's such a conservative, humble person. He didn't do any demonstrating or advertising about it. And of course,
well, there was no persecution in Sparrow, very little.
But shortly after that, he received the gong. And he said, now that sounds good to me. German dawn.
He's an interpreter of the German language.
Then he heard Luxembourg. Then he wrote in for the volume. The set of 6 volumes of scripture study. The tabernacle, and then he begins to study. And he studies because that man has the knowledge of the truth. And he told us that he was consecrated to the Lord when he entered and before he entered the priesthood. But he said, I didn't have the truth. And all he needed to do was to renew that consecration. And when he came to Bowling Green Convention, he symbolized the day with the brethren, as you saw today. The Holy Spirit was operating in that heart and mind for a long time. He resisted his purge. He did not want to become a priest. But they practically forced him into it. But he had given his heart to God.
Ah, come out of there, my people. At least there was one left.
Was there? My people. God's eyes go to and fro in the earth, seeking those who have an honest purpose of heart. Then he begins to draw that one, the psychological moment, and not before. God draws it. That's how I was drawn. I was drawn out of Babylon. I, too, was consecrated to God. But I didn't have the truth. And I couldn't get any of my questions answered.
When the psychological moment came and God drew me to Christ. And I, like this ex-priest, accepted the call.
Oh, the operation of the Holy Spirit is marvelous, friend. The operation of the Holy Spirit all during this gospel age. And it's still operating. Still operating. The sad part of it is, this ex-priest has taken someone's place. Someone stepped to the wayside. But we rejoice with him. We rejoice with everyone that will accept the truth and come in. And manifest the Holy Spirit.
But friends, when the beginning of the harvest of the gospel age took place, the table was furnished with guests.
Then the sifting and the sorting and the shaking and the separating began. And as a result of that, you and I have been brought into the family of God.
Someone
That's how you have a place in the body of Christ. Oh, the operation of the Holy Spirit. Dearly beloved, we are to pray for wisdom from above, James says. And you and I are to pray for the Holy Spirit. We should ask for the Holy Spirit. A little more than that, we should seek Him. A little more than that, we should knock. Knock, it will be opened unto you. Both wisdom and the Holy Spirit. Let us do it, brethren. Let us pray for more and more of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit. You see, the day that we're living in, never was anything like it in all history. The closing hours of this age, I believe. Jesus made a statement that as it was in the days of Noah, that's used so much. But Jesus also said, as it was in the days of Lot. In the days of Lot. Oh, what iniquity. What unrighteousness. Fullness of grace. Evil, debauchery, corruption. Jesus said, when iniquity was full, then fire. When did the fire come? Fire pictures Armageddon. Elijah's fire. Elijah told us about the three overturnings. The first one was the rending of the mountain. The second one, the earthquake. The third one, fire. Before we could hear the still small voice, our pastor told us that that fire was the fire of Armageddon. But when iniquity was full, it's quite full yet. No. It's going to get worse until it's full. How will it come? Jesus said it cometh not with outer observation. Not too many spectacular things, but like a thief. As a thief in the night, undermining, turning over. That very thing, taking them all as a snare that dwells upon the face of the earth. They're in that trap tonight. Thief life as a snare, not with outer observation. Suddenly, it will come. Then, friends, how happy we will be. Oh, we're members of the Christ family. Oh, what a faith. What a faith it will require. What a faith it requires today. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink, brethren, of any earthly woe. Lord, lead me to a faith like this. God is pleased to give us His Holy Spirit, brethren. And this Holy Spirit is a firm spirit, let us remember that. Operates in our hearts and our minds to bring forth righteousness. It will cause us to sacrifice our all upon God's altar. This Holy Spirit will move us to zeal, to do His work. It will urge us to study the Word of God. It will urge us to go to the meeting. Sometimes we grieve the Holy Spirit. No, how sorry I've been for grieving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has made arrangements for us that we may study the truth and have fellowship with our brethren, those of like precious faith. Then we grieve the Holy Spirit, but not being there when it is possible to be there. It means sacrifice. Means sacrifice.
Yes, friend.
St. Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. The more of the Holy Spirit, the greater the power. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Paul said, Ephesians 6:10. That's the finale. We're in the finale. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's because of the operation of the Holy Spirit. How often you say, look at that brother, look at that sister. Ah, they're filled with the Spirit of God. Now, friends, another truth that we have the Holy Spirit, that we're begotten of the Holy Spirit, because we know the world knows nothing about it. Talk to them about the truth, and they'll evade the question. Perhaps we'll turn about and persecute you, say you're beside yourself. Ah, my dear beloved, it is because you have the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit, friends, will bring joy, peace, happiness, and contentment. I love to pray for more of the Spirit of God. I love to ask for it. And I want to seek it. And if I have to knock, I'd like to have the Spirit of God operating in my heart and mind. My friend, will you rejoice in a convention of this kind? The brethren that serve on the platform, they feel the responsibility. Brother McNeese came to me. He's home now. He isn't here, but he gave a wonderful talk. Went right over that second volume of scripture study for him. Beautiful, wasn't it? And he was trembling. He shook hands with me and he said, brother, I'm just trembling. I said, I'm praying for you, dear brother. I said, come sit down. Sit down there with me. I said, brother, I've been doing this work for all these years, and I tremble too before I get on the platform. Why should that can't be? You walk up there so strong. I said, brother, but I can feel it in my body. What is it? Responsibility. You're permitting the Holy Spirit to operate in your heart and mind. Of yourself, you can do nothing. If you ever get that idea that we can, then it will cease to be an operation of the Holy Spirit. I remember one time I was asked to come to Columbus, Ohio, to give a public lecture in the Southern Theater. Perhaps dear Brother Pollock had served there also. There were more than 600 people out. I was to talk on the resurrection of the dead. But you know, when Dr. Campbell took me on the platform, introduced me, and he never said one word about
the subject, and I was so nervous that I had forgotten the subject myself. He introduced me and I stood up. But what am I going to talk on? Just let me. Well, I had to open my mouth. I began to speak, and then suddenly,
oh yes, there it is.
That was an operation of the Holy Spirit. That is a test of my faith. What are you going to do?
Say, Brother Campbell, wait a minute. You better give this. I can't give it.
No? That wouldn't be pleasing to the Lord, was it? Would it? Ah, my dearly beloved, the brethren feel their responsibility in this. Ex-priest felt it too, stand before about 1,000 consecrated.
What?
Now the measure of the Holy Spirit is coming upon him. And he feels the responsibility. And it's great, isn't it? Ah, yes. That love that you have in your heart has been given to you by the Holy Spirit, which God has also given to you and to me. Now I want to mention the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-25. The fruit of the Spirit is love, begins with love. That highest degree of love, that's the love that God possesses. The human race know nothing about it. No, it's so much greater and so much higher. It's a sacrificial love. The highest degree of love. It's the love, friends, that God manifested when he offered his only begotten Son upon the altar sacrifice. That is the love. Pictured by Father Abraham when he offered Isaac. There was the picture of God offering the Lord Jesus, and in turn Jesus offers his bride, the members of the body of Christ, you and I, upon the same altar. Same love. You and I, we're sacrificing priests. And what does it require? It requires the love of God. Yes, friends, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Oh, what joy we've had this convention. I hope you all have that joy tonight. And I pray that if I said anything while I was here that hurt you, I want you to forgive me, because my heart is filled with love for all of you. And I only want to do you good. Lay down my life in self-sacrifice for you and the brethren. That's been my motto for many years. And I pray, as long as I have any strength, that I may continue in this work. One of the sisters rushed to my dear wife, Sister Donna, in Detroit. She wasn't feeling very well that day. Said to her, "Why do you permit him to go into the service?" She said,
"When he's in the service, I'm in the service, and I want him to do it." That's the great, wonderful spirit.
Her sacrifice is greater than mine in this work.
Believe it. his friends. Many of the Lord's people have opportunities of sacrifice that others know nothing about. They're all sacrificing priests. And the last member of the body of Christ, the very elect, are taken home. Then the program will change. And the Lord will take care of the great multitude. And after that's taken care of them, friends, the Lord can lift up his hands and say, peace, be still. You've made enough noise down here now, that's enough. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. I will be exalted among the nations. Yeah. Did you bring forth the ancient prophets? The ancient word. That will be a different operation than of the Holy Spirit. This will be over with. The operation of the Holy Spirit in the gospel age. Oh, how much different that is than the operation in the Jewish age or the millennial age. Then peace will come to the entire human family. Will that be grand? When the human family returns from the land of the living to the land, from the land of the enemy to the land of the living, and they will receive that peace. Ah, yes, they're going to receive it. Peace in earth. Peace for all. And the abundance of peace, the prophet said. That will be grand. You and I have the peace of God today. This peace of God is mentioned in Philippians 4:7, which passes all understanding. That's the peace that you have and the peace that I have. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Fathom is peace. And the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering, patient endurance, love-enduring. Oh, how long-suffering our Heavenly Father is with me. And I think of where I came from, darkest Babylon. Oh, how long suffering he spends with each one of us. How much patience we have. Patience we have. And then we become impatient. Over this or over the other thing. And I know this, brethren, when we do, for that moment we're losing the peace of God. Our peace may be upset before we retire tonight. Right. Something may come and upset you. And for that moment, the peace of God is left you. Why? You're all excited. You're all disturbed. You're upset. And then we must come right back to the Lord. Isn't that right? How often that comes, but it's what? Maintain the peace of God. Because that's love. The fruit of the Spirit is peace and long-suffering and gentleness. Yes, I want to be gentle. And I owe you sisters want to be gentle ladies as well as the brethren to be gentle men. Isn't it grand to meet one? That's a gentle woman, a gentleman. Grand, isn't it? We're all to be gentle, friends, easily entreated. But when one can't get near a person, it's terrible, isn't it? Love, the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, brethren. I want to practice it more. And I think it is because my incompatibility
let God use me, but I want to control it. I want to control it. I want to learn the lesson and learn it well. I want to control it so that I'll be gentle with all. That's why we're down here in the school of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Goodness. To be good. A little gooder tomorrow than we were today. Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's only one good. Father in heaven. Wasn't Jesus good? Oh, yes, I believe he was, friend. But he was teaching us a lesson. To copy the character of Christ. In goodness, love in action. That's love in action, isn't it? To be good. But the Lord desires to see us. Think of a whole earth filled with good people at the end of the millennium. That be an earth? An entire earth filled with kind, merciful people. As a result of your goodness and my goodness today, brethren, we make our calling and election sure, we'll be in that glorious, merciful high place to extend goodness to the human family. Oh, don't you think we'll need a little goodness? What are they getting today? Oh, terrible, isn't it, friend? But it'll stop after a while. The Lord will say, that's enough. He's killed. And then the operation of the Holy Spirit through the Lord Jesus and his bride to the entire human family. Oh, my dearly beloved, the half was never told. The fruit of the Spirit is faith. It takes us. Because we're on the battlefield of life, takes the place. Here we are, way down here in 1952. Well, about 1915, 14, those days. I remember we talked sometimes about the time would come when it would be Christ. Here we are in 1952, and brethren, it takes just as much faith today as it did back then. And perhaps a little more. Don't you see the Lord still testing our faith on this battlefield of life? And then the Lord, St. Paul tells us the fruit of the Spirit is meekness, love and resignation, or passive. Yeah. Meek. To be meek. Peaceful. Trying to sit at the feet of Jesus, to be taught of him. He's girded himself and serving us. Or do we think he isn't serving us anymore? Ah, my dear beloved, he's still serving us. He said he would gird himself and serve the household of faith, the body members of Christ, with meat in due season. Didn't he? He's still serving us. Let us be meek, passive. Receive all the lessons that he has in store for us. The fruit of the Spirit is temperance, self-control. My. Control someone else? No. No, no. How often that happens? Control self. Self. No, friends, what it means. Wonderful, isn't it?
prophet David says in Psalm 49:14, that this new creation will have dominion over them in the morning. Have dominion over the human race in the morning and for 1,000 years.
Brethren, don't you think then we'd ought to have dominion over ourselves now? Self-control. Pray for me that I may have self-control that will be pleasing to God. Pray for me that I'll have in greater measure of the Holy Spirit to have that self-control, and I pray for you. Oh, how essential it is, brethren, to have that self-control.
Therefore Jesus said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself unto him.
Brethren,
the Lord has manifested his love to us here these days, my friends, and
that I could be a blessing to you, and I pray that you have received the blessing.
That love, friends, as a result of the Holy Spirit, is grand, isn't it? Let us walk in it, manifest it more and more constantly,
willing to spend and be spent in the service of the Lord. Pray for self-control that we may carry it out. There isn't anything grander to talk about than the Holy Spirit. Let us pray for more of it, that we may have that firm spirit that Lisa talks about, that Jesus had, that St. Paul had, that our pastor had. Oh, what a firm spirit. May the Lord add his blessing. Thank you for your